Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Our heart's cry is, Lord, we want everybody to go to heaven. So, Father, we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Father, we're praying for their past, present, and future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and in the future and their family members. All grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. All great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, make yourself real to each person. May each person truly see and understand your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then, Father, we pray you'd get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water. They'd receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian would become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon possessed, demonized, and captive to be set free, and all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people to receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for it right now. And yes, Lord, we believe and receive in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we want to pray for the Jewish people. We love them so very much. We have such great debt of gratitude toward them. Father, their greatest need is salvation. Holy Spirit, please convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord, please remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. May they truly understand, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are their Messiah, your Savior and Lord, and they'd humble themselves, repent, and get born again from above, Holy Spirit baptized and filled, and living for you. And yes, Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. According to your word, we agree they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Please restore all that land to them. And Father God, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel, the Jewish people, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil, you would destroy them. And we thank you for that also in Jesus' name. And Father, we can't praise you enough, Father, that you intervened in the election, Father. You moved the hearts up on your people. And Donald Trump and J.D. Vance is our president, vice president. Thank you, Father. You kept America from its total destruction, and we praise you for it. But now, Father, we continue to pray that you would use the Trump administration as well as your angelic host to expose and to drive out of this country every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who has come in America to do evil harm would be exposed, brought to the light, and you would drive them out of this country, and Father, you would not allow them to do their wicked evil deeds. And we agree in Jesus' name. Father, please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. We declare everyone in America has clean water to drink. There will be no poisoning of the water systems or diminishing of them. And we pray for abundant of rain all over the nation, Father, as every person needs it. Also, Father, please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Don't let anybody poison, hack, destroy these resources, Father God. Father, protect our chickens and turkeys, Father God. Wicked, evil people from the last administration are destroying, Father God, our food sources. And Father, stop them. Do whatever you have to do to stop these wicked, evil people, these liars, in Jesus' name. And Father, please protect also our power grid. Please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Father, we agree that no one nation or person will be able to hack these systems and destroy them or take them out. And we decree in 2025 we're going to be energy independent again. And we thank you for it also. And Father, we pray that you would absolutely destroy the monkeypox virus, the bird flu virus, every viruses that they are created in those bio labs. You would destroy those viruses. Father, you would burn down and destroy the bio labs, and you would absolutely annihilate and destroy the vaccinations being created to maim, harm, and kill people, Lord. Don't let them do it again. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking about the Great Commission. Remember, Jesus lived that sinlessly perfect life. He did so many great miracles, went to the cross, and that was our salvation. But before he went to the cross, he went to the whipping post. And the Bible says by his stripes we were healed, so we know healing's for us today. And then he died and rose again and shed his precious blood and defeated Satan, sin, and death on the cross, that we can become children of God, have our sins forgiven, have eternal life, and fulfill the purpose and plan of God for our life. So Jesus died and rose again. Remember, he came back to earth for 40 days, gave instructions to his disciples, showed himself alive to many people. And then just before he went back to heaven, he gave instructions to the church. And we start reading there in Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Yes. We worship Jesus Christ because he is God. You know, the cults and isms, many of them don't believe Jesus is God, and some of them even think they're gods. Talk about people that are going to burn in hell. It's sad, isn't it? But we worship Jesus, but some doubted. You know, that's not good. Romans 14, 23, whatever is not of faith is sin. Doubt is sin. So repent if you're walking in doubt. The just shall live by faith. Then verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You see, he defeated Satan on the cross, took away all his legal rights over humanity through his precious blood and his sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. So he's letting everybody know, letting the disciples know, letting his followers know, Satan's been defeated. I have all authority, and notice what he does. He delegates that authority to his disciples, to his followers, to you and I who are born again believers. And what does Jesus say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Let me stop here. The most important experience you can have is to be born again. John 3:3, Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you have to be born again, which means as you have an encounter with God through the Holy Spirit, Jesus becomes alive and real to you. The Holy Spirit has shown you that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And you say yes. You say, yes, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. And you get gloriously saved. Well, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of your relationship with God. Do you know all the truths in the Bible? No, so you need to be taught. You need to be discipled. And so Jesus is telling them, we just don't win people to Jesus, we disciple them. Teaching them, did you hear that? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, did you notice that word command you? Oh, we're New Testament believers under grace. We're not commanded to do anything. You didn't read your Bible. Jesus commands us to do things. That's not a suggestion. You understand that, right? Commands mean you will do it or else. Does that make sense? Okay. I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus says, I've given you marching orders. I'm going back to heaven. Of course, good news, he sent the Holy Spirit. Remember the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit descended on the early church, cloven tongues of fire, and they spoke in other tongues and languages. And the Holy Spirit then became a permanent resident for all those who are born again. And then again, and receiving the baptism, you have a great power of God from on high operating in you through the Holy Spirit. But let's go back. He said, Jesus says, I want you to teach people to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So the question is, what has Jesus commanded us? Well, good news, in the book of Mark, Jesus also gave a great commission. It gives us just a little more details about what we're supposed to be doing. Let's read it. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, Jesus Christ, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So Jesus wants every boy and girl, man and woman on planet Earth to be saved. He wants them to be born again, have their sins forgiven, be right relationship with God again through Jesus. So here's what he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So once you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and enter into that new birth, you're supposed to get baptized in water. The word baptized is the word baptizo, means to be plunged and to immerse. So the only kind of biblical baptism is to be dunked underwater and be brought up again, picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and your identification with him. But also notice what Jesus says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. So Jesus says those who are born again, who put their trust in him, here's what he wants us to do. In my name, again, remember, since Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, he has given delegated authority to those who love and serve him. So you have authority. That's the right to rule. Jesus gave it to you. And then you have to have power. Power is the ability to rule, and that comes through the Holy Spirit, who lives in you if you're a born-again believer. Do you get it? So we have authority. So what do we have authority to do? In my name they shall cast in out demons. I hate to tell you, probably half of the churches out there today don't even believe in demons. Well, that's a sign that Jesus is coming soon, because as we preached before in 1 Timothy 4 about the apostasy and departing from the faith and the truths of God's word, many churches don't practice deliverance, let alone tell people to cast out demons. But if you read your Bible and you believe what you read, then you know you've got authority to cast out demons. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues and languages. When you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God gives you a prayer language and you have the ability to speak in other tongues and other languages. They shall take up serpents. So if any snakes or scorpions or things come against you, you have authority to have victory over them. And I think sometimes a serpent can also represent anything that's trying to do evil harm against you. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Someone that I have great respect for, you know, and we've prayed about this every week for, man, it's been a year or so, shared the danger that they saw prophetically that someone would try to poison our water tables and there would be very bad things happen. So this, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You need to pray over your food and drink and stand on that promise. I pray and praying against that ever to happen, but I'm just saying, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, but you have to bless your food and water. Always do that, okay? And then something very exciting, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, Jesus says he can allow his healing power to flow through your hands as a believer. Now, well, you say, preacher, how can that be? I'm not a healer. Well, no, Jesus is the healer. Are you born again? If you said yes, then you hopefully agree that Jesus lives in you. Aha! Are you really a born-again believer? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Aha! So Jesus, when he healed people, when the 12 healed people, when the 70 healed people, they did it in Jesus' name. Jesus said to use his name. They did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. What? You have the Holy Spirit too. That's why, by faith, it works. Okay? Does that make sense? It's really not that hard. Now, the devil and religious people will try to talk you out of these things. Be sure of that. But you just need to read God's Word, believe it, and the Holy Spirit will tell you these things are true. Okay? It's that simple. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. You know, that's where Jesus Christ is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. In Romans 8 and Hebrews 9, I believe it tells us he's interceding for us. Thank you, Jesus. He fulfills his salvation, provided it for every person, but he still loves us enough to pray for us at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming back soon. He's getting ready to call the church up in the rapture. Oh, isn't that exciting? It's getting close. And so what happened? And they went forth, verse 20, and preached everywhere. That's what Jesus said to do. The Lord working with them. You see, that's the only way it works. If God's working with you, which means you need to be walking, abiding in Jesus, and be led by the Holy Spirit, which you can do if you're a Christian. Okay. The Lord working with them and confirming the word. See, if you'll preach the word of God, what God says, because remember Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how you get some faith and you do what Jesus says and it works. That makes sense, doesn't it? And confirming the word with signs following, amen. And you understand that was never supposed to stop. But because of denominations and traditions and the devil getting inroads into seminaries and religious institutions, many people don't practice these things. And yet Jesus says, the things that I taught you to do, remember talking to his disciples, you teach other people to do it too. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what Jesus commands us to do. In fact, I really like it here in Luke chapter 10, read a couple verses, Luke 10, 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. So he sent these 70 disciples or followers out ahead of him. Okay, he says a lot of things. Then verse 9, and heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. Okay, for time's sake, jump down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Through thy name. What were they saying? It works. Ha, 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 it works. Well, you'll be full of joy too. You start casting out demons in Jesus' name. Of course, that's if you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you, of course. And he said unto them, Jesus, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you, and if you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, that your name's in the blank here. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Oh, we just read that. Jesus said that in Mark 16. And over all the power of the enemy. That means Satan and his entire kingdom. And he didn't want you to hear that. You know that, don't you? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you know demons do threaten to kill and harm you when you're faced with them? I'll just tell you that up front. But they're liars and they're just trying to get you full of fear so you'll back down. Don't do it. Don't back down. Satan's a liar. Demons are liars. The left are liars. Can't believe anything they say. Okay? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Oh, here's good news. Because your names are written in heaven. So it worked. It worked for the 12. It worked for the 70. It'll work for you if you go out and do it. And yes, you're supposed to be trained and equipped in that too. So hopefully your church offers classes on learning how to minister deliverance and healing, and you're growing in the Lord and those things. Remember, you can learn and grow in anything. Okay. So this is what we're supposed to do, right? These are the things, but that's not it. And in the same thought or vein, Jesus also, here's something else he wanted us to do because he sent the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you have the Holy Spirit? He's God. Holy Spirit's very powerful. He's God. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus says that when I pour out the Holy Spirit, he will empower you to be my witnesses, to share your faith in Christ. And remember, every person who's listening, who is born again, you have a testimony how you got saved and how Jesus came into your life and to your heart, right? So you have a testimony. And as you study God's word, you learn the scriptures you could share that help people to see how to be saved. And then they get saved. And you teach them then about the Christian life. And that should be taking place in every church, every Bible church anyway. So we're supposed to cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If we drink any dead thing, it won't harm us. Lay hands on the sick. We're to be his bold witnesses. Is there anything else Jesus commands us to do? Yes. And this should be fairly familiar, this next one. John chapter 14. Begin in verse 21, we'll start. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, do you love Jesus? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Okay, so Jesus is doing some teaching, isn't he? Now let's go to the next chapter, John 15, verse 10. Jesus is still talking and teaching. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Oh, we are to obey Jesus. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Let's continue. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. All right, verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus talking, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for my friends. You are my friends. You can be a friend of Jesus if you do whatever I command you. Oh. So under grace, we're commanded to walk by faith, to obey God and his word, and walk in love. It's not a suggestion, is it? It's a commandment. Let me jump down to verse 17. Jesus still talking. These things I command you, that you love one another. Does that sound like it's up to you whether you want to love a person or not? Nah. Jesus loves them. He lives in you. The Holy Spirit loves them. And if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you. And remember that fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, this fruit is demonstrated in your life and in the things you do. And, you know, even going back to the back part of the Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive of him. Oh, I like that verse. Let's keep reading. because we keep his commandments. Do you know that's under grace? And do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Our greatest desire is to please God, right? Okay. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you trusted in Jesus and been born again? That's a commandment. And love one another as he gave us commandment. Boy, God really wants you to get that, doesn't he? And verse 24, let's throw that in. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, Jesus, and he in him, praise God. And by this we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, whom he hath given us. Oh, good news, good news, good news. So these are the things that Jesus commands you as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer to do. And oh, we got to end with great news. Remember the last part of verse 20? Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let me back that up with a couple scriptures. Hebrews 13:5. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. So when the going gets tough, the trials come, difficulties happen, you're attacked by sickness, does Jesus pack up his bags and leaves? No, he's with you forever. In fact, he's your healer. So don't put up with that stuff. Say, Jesus, by your stripes I was healed, and I'm not going to keep this sickness. It's got to go. And also remember this about him being with us forever. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:16-17? And I will pray the Father that he may give you another comforter. Again, talking about Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. Can I just ask you, what part of forever don't you understand? The Holy Spirit comes into living you forever. So, even if you fall down, repent, get back up again. The Holy Spirit has not left you. You've grieved him. You quenched him. Repent. Get under the blood of Jesus and get up and start serving Jesus again and being filled afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, I'm going to be with you till the very end. Jesus truly is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And maybe just one other scripture to reinforce that. Hebrews 4, we'll start verse 29, and to give you the point. Let no corrupt communication that proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might be minister grace to the hearers. And then he says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, and that's what you do when you sin, therefore you need to repent, by whom you were sealed, you are sealed until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the day you die and go home to be with Jesus and get that glorified body. Holy Spirit stays in you forever. Pray with me right now. Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I'm coming to you. I repent of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and be my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.